I'm telling you, I love the fall. I love the little bit of rain. I love the leaves changing. Man, just love this time. Well, amen. It's good to see each and every one of you. I'm glad you're here tonight because I am really looking forward to what Brother Gary has for us tonight. So, Brother Gary, you come on up and give us what the Lord has given to you, and we'll make sure that our Bibles are open, ready to receive it, brother.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Got some. Good evening. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, I don't generally have cotton mouth, but on the way here, I told my wife, I said, honey, I got cotton mouth bad. She said, well, get you some water. And I says, okay. But anyway, okay. Just a little something here. You know, when I got done with my Sunday school lesson on Ephesians, I was really looking forward to getting back into my Bible reading and Bible studying. And I got into the book of Ezekiel. I've been trying to get through Ezekiel for quite a while. And it seems like every time I get right about in the middle of it, God puts something out there and changes it. And, you know, we got to listen to the Lord when he's speaking with us. And, you know, I was right in the middle of it last time when Pastor asked me to teach Sunday school. So I had to start devoting the time to Ephesians. Well, I was really looking forward to it after the Sunday school class was over, getting back into that. And I did. And I got about halfway through it, and the Lord changed me again. And I said, okay, Lord, you know, and so I started praying about it, and he brought this message, you know, to my thoughts. And I said, okay, God, I'll do that. I said, but, you know, Lord, I'm going to Texas here in about 2 weeks to visit my mother, and I appreciate all the prayers for her. She's ready to go be with the Lord. And so I'm going down to see her, and I said to the Lord, this is all in my head. I said, Lord, when I get back from Texas, I'll do that message. You know, when I get back, I'll tell Pastor that I have a message ready. Whenever he needs me, just plug me in. You know, and last Sunday he came to me and said, Gary, would you like to preach next Sunday night? I thought, you know, he preached on nanoseconds here a while back. Anybody remember that? I don't know what it is. I was paying attention, but I don't know what a nanosecond is. It's supposed to be real fast. And when he asked me that, just for an instant, I kind of laughed in my head and thought, okay, Lord, you changed me again. And then when I was talking to him, I kind of laughed at him when he asked me that. And he said, well, if you can't do it, that's okay. And I said, no, Pastor. I said, I can do it. I said, I was just planning on doing it when I got back, but it didn't work that way. You know, I says, okay, I'll do it, no problem. So that's where we're at. So we're going to be in the book of Matthew in chapter 14. And Matthew chapter 14. But, you know, I've listened to a lot of pastors, a lot of preachers, a lot of evangelists, a lot of missionaries. And, you know, they all like to start with a joke. You know, so I was thinking, Lord, you know, I need a joke. You know, and I'm no preacher, I'm no pastor, I'm no evangelist. But when God tells you to do something, you need to do it, whatever it is. And so I said, okay, Lord, I don't know no jokes. And he brought something to me that it's very funny. It's not a joke. It's true. It happened last Sunday. I was, anybody here like to take naps? I think most of us do like to take naps. I took a nap Sunday between the services, not during the service, between the services. I took a nap at home in my recliner, and I got done, or I woke up, and Am I the only one that's always hungry when you wake up from your naps? Man, it was like I had to get something to eat. You know, so I went over to the counter there, and have any of you gotten any of the cinnamon bread Brother Larry brings? Oh, boy, it's good. And so I cut me a slice of that cinnamon bread, and by the way, I didn't have my glasses on. And I cut me a slice of that bread, and I put it in the toaster, and popped up, and I like butter. And I really just smothered it with butter. And while I'm putting the butter on, I thought, you know what would really be good on this would be some cinnamon and sugar. So I opened the cabinet where my wife keeps it. She uses cinnamon a lot. So I grabbed what I thought was cinnamon. And I sprinkled, it looked just like it. I sprinkled it all over the toast. Grabbed some sugar, put it all over it. But something didn't smell right. You know, I couldn't make out what it was. So I went over and sat back in my recliner, and I took a bite of it, and it didn't taste right. But that bread, I'm not going to let that bread go to waste. So I ate that whole thing. And when I got done, my mouth was on fire. I went and got me a glass of water, and I chugged it down. And I said to myself, something's wrong. You know, something is wrong here. So I went, grabbed my glasses. I went over there, grabbed what I thought was the cinnamon. It was cayenne pepper. So cayenne pepper doesn't go good on bread, folks. So, okay, that's my joke. And that did happen. So, all right, we're in Matthew chapter 14. Now, I want to give credit where credit is due. I am a gospel thief. I heard this message preached in 2013 by Dr. Shemesh. Good man, a great man. He's a missionary to Thailand. And I heard this message, and it's just phenomenal. There's no way I can tell you right now, if you get a tenth out of it, what I got out of what he preached, praise the Lord. But because, you know, I'm just trying to do what God wants me to do. You know, in Colossians 3:23, it tells us, and whatsoever you do, do it unto the Lord and not unto man. So, you know, when the Lord, and here's a pastor, he's slipping in. He's trying to slip in, but we see him. I just told a joke about you, so.
My ears were really burning.
No, it wasn't. We love our pastor, don't we, folks? Amen. Yeah, amen. Okay, where was I? I got done with that joke. So anyway, all right, so we're in, I want to give credit to where credit is due, and I got this message from Brother Shemesh in 2013 over at the church we used to go to in Chehalis, Washington, Faith Baptist Church. It's a great message. I hope you get something out of it. I know I did. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 14, and I want to kind of set the stage here for you. In verse 21 in Matthew 14, it says, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So Jesus had brought these people together. He had been preaching to them. They were done. He felt, you know, the disciples said, send these people out. And Jesus said, no, we got to feed them, you know. They said, we don't have but, verse 17, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus made a miracle there. He fed all those people, and they picked up a bunch of it. So that's the stage. That's where all this is, and it's ending. So we're going to start in verse 22, Matthew 14, 22, and we're going to read 22 through 33. And God's word says, and they that had eaten, that's verse 21, 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out of fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for your word, Lord, and what it means to us as believers. Lord, we hear from you, Lord. It's your book. It's you speaking to us, Lord. And help us to never take that for granted, Lord. Lord, help us tonight. Help me, Lord, to be able to bring this message. And I just pray that somebody will get something out of it, Lord. And keep me focused, Lord. Don't let me say anything that you don't want me to say, Lord. I just ask that you bless this service tonight, Lord. Bless what I have to say, what you gave me to say, and be able to apply it to our lives and guide us, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so in verse 22, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away." Now, Jesus sent his disciples away here. He told them to get in the boat and get going. Get to the other side. Now, what does it say in Matthew 28:19? The Great Commission. Most everybody knows it. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." That's the Great Commission. So Jesus told his disciples to get into that boat and get going. Get to the other side. Okay, in verse 23 it says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." So Jesus sends them away to the other side, and he goes up to the mountain to pray. He goes up there by himself. He's alone with his Father. Now, how can we apply that to our lives? We need to have time in our lives that we go and spend time with Jesus all alone. You know, we don't need, I personally don't feel you need people around you when that. I know in my quiet time, in my study time, I'm by myself. I go in there, I do my prayer, I talk to the Lord, I try to get all I can from him, and then I get into my Bible. You know, so Jesus wants us to spend time with him. This is a great example of that. He goes up on this mountain, he sends his disciples away, and he goes up and he talks to his Father. Okay? That was verse 23. Verse 24, it says, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." So we see that the sea was rough, and they had a contrary wind. Okay, Webster's dictionary, Webster's 1828 dictionary, and I feel like that's worth saying. It's not the new dictionary. It's been around for a long time. You know, and it's It's very probably politically incorrect, but it's very true. And Webster was actually a Christian man. So Webster's 1828 dictionary defines contrary as opposite, adverse, moving against or in an opposite direction. They had a contrary wind. Folks, this was not a good thing. They had set out in obedience to his word, and they hit rough seas and a contrary wind. They're trying to go this way. The wind's pushing them this way. Okay? Folks, this is very much the story of life. Very much. You have a plan, and you set out to do something for God. But in life, contrary things happen. You set out to go this away, and contrary winds push you this away. Things happen. And you didn't expect them. They tend to blow you off a course. And you don't know when this is coming to you. The whole thing in life is that this stuff happens. Now, this can happen right smack dab in the middle of God's will in your life. This happens to all of us. Now, Jesus says to get in the boat and to go, and it's not long before they start having contrary winds. Folks, you can't start to question things. Like, did I hear Jesus correctly? Or maybe he said something else. Maybe, I'm gonna put it in our situation, maybe I married the wrong person. Maybe I'm at the wrong church. You fill in the blanks. Contrary winds will come. Contrary things will come to you. These contrary winds can and will happen right in the middle of an obedient life. You try to be obedient for God, and those winds are going to come against you. The contrary winds. Now, never let this be an indicator that you have somehow missed God's will in your life. Never let that happen. Contrary winds will come in your lives. Okay, verse 25, it says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." So Jesus is coming to them. He understands what they're going through. The Bible says that he comes in what watch? The fourth watch of the night. You know what time that is? It's from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., the fourth watch. So what does this mean? What does it mean? Well, it means that he didn't come in the first watch. It means that he didn't come in the second watch. It also means he didn't come in the third watch. He came in the fourth watch of the night. Now, what this is saying, that there is a time when you just have to keep on going no matter what. Because he is coming to you. He's going to help you. He's going to give you everything that you need. So just keep going. The Lord didn't send you out and just forget about you. There's timing in the process. He didn't come in the first watch. When they set out in that boat, they hit rough seas, folks. It was so rough, it was trying to blow them back. You know, now I can just sit here and think they were probably rowing. I don't know, maybe they had a sail. But I'm sure it was tough. You know, and they're saying in the first watch, "Where you at, Lord?" They're saying in the second watch. They're saying in the third watch. But he didn't come to the fourth watch. So we just got to be faithful. And keep on going. like I said, never let this, never use this to be an indicator whether or not you're in the will of God. As a matter of fact, many times when you are in the will of God, you will find that contrary winds will come right in the middle of it. I want you to think about this. Paul, he went through all kinds of persecutions and beatings on his way to see Caesar to get more beatings and more persecution. And then he got shipwrecked. Paul was facing many obstacles just to go and get more persecution from Caesar. You think that God was with him? Yeah, he was with him. But he didn't rescue him from all that. It's life. That's the way life is, folks. Contrary things will happen. And when it does, God expects us to stay the course. Be strong and be faithful. Jesus is coming. And he will. The Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Okay? Verse 27. It says, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." So he comes to them walking on the sea. And when they see him, they're afraid. Now, folks, this is not normal walking on the sea. It's not normal. This is not just some story that somebody made up. It's true. It did happen because he is all powerful. He is almighty. And when he asks you to do something, he will give you the power to do it. Now, I want you to put yourself in this boat. You're in this boat. You've been in there from dark 30 till 3 a.m. in the morning. And you, all of a sudden, you see something on the water. It Bible says that they thought it was a spirit. Okay? Now, what does it say there? Be of good cheer and be not afraid. So they're in this boat. They see that and it scares them. If you were in a boat in a storm and you looked out and you've been in that boat and in that storm practically all night and you see this spirit walking out there, you're going to be afraid. Right. Yeah. What does he say? He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. You know, Jesus could have said many, many things. He could have said, behold, it is the great Messiah. He could have said, hey, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega is here. He could have said, the sinless one. And all that would have been true, folks. But all he said was, it is I. So this is the kind of God we have, that he, when you are in times of being afraid, you're in times of trouble, he comes to you and he says in a soft voice, it's I. It's okay. I'm with you. It's me. And when this happens, folks, if you ever had that happen to you, especially when you were down and out, it's a sweet thing. When Jesus arrives on the scene and says it's okay, it's okay. When you're in times of distress, you're going through more than you think you can endure, he comes to you and he says, I'm here, I'm with you. Folks, he's high and lifted up. And we aren't worthy to even touch his feet. But he doesn't come to us that way. He comes to us and he said, it's me. Here I am. It's I. So Jesus says, come. Okay, in verse 28 and verse 29 it says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Excuse me. So Jesus said, come, right? Now, we know that walking on the water is not normal. But when Jesus tells you to do something, he will enable you to do things that you couldn't ordinarily do. I mean, when I thought about that, it brought John O'Brien's thought to me. The man is in Ukraine. His church has been blown up. All that's left, I think, if I'm not wrong, is the basement. Oh, okay. All right, but all around him, things as bad is happening. Two of his workers just got killed recently. And, you know, that's a bad thing. But, you know, when Jesus tells you to come, you need to come. That's what the Bible said. He told Peter, he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. All right. So he gave him the ability, and he enabled him to do that. Now, when Jesus tells you something like that, and I'm not saying he's going to tell you to walk on water, but when he gives you something to do, you need to believe it. Amen. Whatever he tells you to do, you can do. Amen. People will always tell you that you can't do that. And a lot of times they have a very powerful argument. And they might be right on some things. But if Jesus says you can do, you can do. No matter what it is. When I think back at my younger years, 15, 20 years ago, if you'd have ever said you're going to be behind this pulpit, and we were talking earlier, this place is a sacred place right here, folks. You know, when you get behind this pulpit, you better have the Lord behind you. You better be prayed up. But when if you'd have told me 15 or 20 years ago, I'd be right here, I'd have told you, you're crazy. Never be there. But when you listen to Jesus, and when he tells you you can do, you can do. Okay. Why? Because he always gives you power to do whatever he asks you to do. Don't listen to contrary voices, because they will come, folks. Verse 30, it says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, when you go down, Jesus will pick you up. Now, why did Peter do what he did? Because Jesus said, come. And he came. Now, when Peter started sinking, what does the Bible say happened? That's in, was that verse 30? But when he, verse 30. When he started sinking, he said, and read verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Peter started sinking, and that's what the Bible says. Why did he do that? Why did Peter start sinking? He took his eyes off of Jesus. Just for an instant, he took his eyes off of him, and he started sinking. Now, that ought to tell you something. It does me. When you take your eyes off the Lord, You're not going to be where he wants you to be. You're going to be, I'm not saying you're going to be actually sinking, but you are. I mean, you're going to be going down when you take your eyes off of him. That's why it's so important to keep your eyes up on him. And the Bible says in verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So Jesus didn't wait till he got halfway down or got under with his hand up. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and grabbed Peter. All right. He's not going to let Peter sink. He was not going to do it because Peter obeyed what he said. He said, come. And he came. Now, Peter was doing something that no one has ever done except Jesus. The impossible. Walking on the water. And then he takes his eyes off of Jesus for an instant. And what happens? Boom, he starts going down. And what happens to us when we do that? We start going down. Okay, so with that, in verse 32, it says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. So what happened when Jesus came into the boat? Everything got calm. The sea was, the Bible says, boisterous, rough, contrary winds. Jesus got in the boat, boom. No more winds. Calm sea. Jesus came to them when they needed him. Well, they needed him the first, second, and third watch, but there was a timing process there. But Jesus came to him, and the wind ceased. So, folks, how can we apply this to our lives? Contrary winds are going to come. The end thing is, if you take your eyes off of Jesus, you're going to sink. That's why it's so important to keep your eyes on the Lord. Stay prayed up. And when those contrary winds come, and they will come, that you can handle them. Now, if you look, you can go there if you want. In Ephesians 1:13, it says, Ephesians 1:13, it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel. What is the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. So after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So after you believed, after you heard the gospel from a preacher or whoever it was, could have been a door knocker, and you believed, God took you and he sealed you. Now, folks, when God seals something, it doesn't come unsealed. It doesn't happen. When God seals you, it says he sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise. When God seals you, it doesn't come undone at all. Am I a firm believer of once saved, always saved? You bet. I believe it. You know, I'm a living testimony of that. I got saved at 15 years old. I didn't live for the Lord. I went off to war, got wounded in war. But I knew who to call on when I needed help. And I did. I called on him. And through the time, God got me straight, you know. So when God seals you, you're not going to lose that seal. It's going to happen. It's going to stay sealed for eternity. Okay, and then in Ephesians 2:19, it says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So that's God telling me that once I believed in him, I'm a citizen of heaven. That's what that says. You're a citizen of the household of God. So with that, folks, if you don't do nothing else in your life, you need to look to the Lord and trust him in for your salvation. I don't know if everybody's saved here. I don't know that. But if you're not saved, today is the day of salvation. You go out in your vehicle and you leave. I know at the fair I talked to one guy, and I know a lot of guys who gave their testimony about that. And that's what I told him. He lived up in Priest River. And I said, you know, when you leave here, if you don't make it home and you hadn't settled this, you're not going to heaven. You know, it's true. You know, and he got that close, you know, but he just couldn't do it. So salvation is very important. If you don't have it, you need to get it, you know, and you just need to be saved. That's all there is to it. Pastor?
Yes,
I'll give it to you now. So,
amen. Thank you for that. Let's go ahead. Let's have the piano player come, and let's go ahead and have let's bow our heads before the Lord right now. Great message. Listen, we turn our lives over unto the Lord and determine to walk with Him, and contrary winds are going to come. I mentioned this morning with Joseph that conflicts are going to happen. You're going to face some things. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. The devil puts us in his crosshairs when we determine we're going to live for Christ. And then he's determined to want to try to knock us over, knock us down, and hopefully to a place where we're not going to get back up again. And that's happened many times. But if we keep our eyes on the Lord and look unto Him and realize something, I said this to somebody just the other day about timing. I said that God's been teaching me something over time and over a good period of time. And it's beginning to just sink in more and more, and I'm learning this, is that God just has this timing on things, and I'm learning to get to a place where I just say, Lord, I'm just going to be happy with your timing. I would like it right now. Those disciples wanted the Lord to come in the first watch, and that didn't happen, so they were hoping He'd come in the second watch, but that didn't happen either. And then the third watch, and He didn't come in the third watch, but He came in the fourth watch. And that was no mistake. It wasn't a mistake when Lazarus was sick and the Lord stayed a couple days where he was and Lazarus ended up dying. And then his sisters, Mary and Martha, said, Lord, if you'd have come right away, Lazarus wouldn't have died. They questioned his timing. But the Lord's the master of timing. And that needed to play itself out, just like in this story here with the disciples. And this is something that's important for us to understand. And Brother Gary did a great job of communicating that. That is, we just have to be good with God's timing, because He sees all things and He knows the best time for things. So it would be necessary, that's the word behoove, it would be good for us just to say, Lord, I don't understand all this. I want you to take care of this problem right now, but it would be good for us to back away from that and to say, Lord, you know the best timing. This is difficult, and this is a rough sea. It's tumultuous. It's boisterous. But you know what you're trying to do in my life, and so I'm good with it. I want to be good with it. I just want to trust you. And so if you come in the fourth watch of the night, I'll be happy with that. And maybe that's something that you and I have to settle in our hearts right now. And you're saying, that's what I struggle with right there. I'm impatient. I want my answers right now. This is a good time to just talk to the Lord, a good time to come to the altar, a good time to just talk to the Lord in your seat. And just put your trust in Him. And say, Lord, I want to just learn how to be good with your timing, because you know all things. Now, maybe you're here tonight without Jesus Christ. You don't know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven. Well, this is the best time for you to trust Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks about today is the day of salvation. Boy, if God's working on your heart, then take care of that issue. Deal with that matter today. Step out in the aisle and come up here. We'll show you from God's Word how you can be saved and trust the Lord Jesus Christ and know that you have everlasting life. It's a good thing when we just learn to trust God with His timing, because He knows all things. And if we get to that point, we've come a long ways, and that's good. So with that, let's pray. If God's spoken to your heart, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation, and this would be a good time to just respond to Him. If you're without Christ, this is a good time to respond and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for what we've heard. Thank you for this message that Brother Fussell has put forth. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you allow things into our life. Help us to learn to spend time with you. Help us to learn that when we go through trials in our life and that when the winds are contrary, that doesn't mean necessarily we're out of the will of God. There are things that are going to happen to us, and the devil is going to try to blow us off course. Help us to keep our resolve. Help us to keep our eyes on you, and help us to understand that you're there with us and that you'll show up and bring forth a deliverance in your timing. Help us to learn how to just trust you and to allow you to do the work in us that needs to be done. We need to get to that point. So help all of us with that. And Lord, if there's somebody here without Christ, they don't know for sure that they're saved or they're not saved and they're not on their way to heaven, we pray for them that they'll come to make that decision to trust you tonight. So we thank you and praise you for the things we've heard tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.